Hi, I'm Josh McDowell. Welcome to the audio version of my book, The Da Vinci Code, A Quest for Answers. Take a good look the next time you're in a crowd of people. Some of those folks could be Jesus' descendants. At least The Da Vinci Code provides us that possibility. To the characters in the story, it's the secret that could destroy the church. Simply knowing the secret could get you killed. Once again, we have to ask if it's true. And if it is true, is it even significant?
Yes, but the Brotherhood had another, more important duty as well, to protect the bloodline itself. Christ's lineage was in perpetual danger. The early church feared that if the lineage was permitted to grow, the secret of Jesus and Magdalene would eventually surface and challenge the fundamental Catholic doctrine, that of a divine Messiah who did not consort with women or engage in sexual union. The Da Vinci Code, page 257.
Here's what Teabing says. Not only was Jesus Christ married, but he was a father. My dear Mary Magdalene was the holy vessel. She was the chalice that bore the royal bloodline of Jesus Christ. She was the womb that bore the lineage and the vine from which the sacred fruit sprang forth. He goes on to say, of course, that the church covered this up, fearing that Mary, being of the house of Benjamin and royal descent, and Jesus, who was also of royal descent, could form a potent political union with the potential of making a legitimate claim to the throne and restoring the line of kings as it was under Solomon. Proof of all this, of course, is supposedly contained in the Sangreal documents and tens of thousands of pages of information contained in four enormous trunks, along with other evidence that is chronicled in exhaustive detail by scores of historians.
So what about all that?
Well, as far as I can tell, everything I've just said, with the exception of Jesus being of royal descent, is total fiction.
None of it's true?
Not even close. Concerning Mary's supposed lineage, Professor of Ancient History Paul Meyer says that there is no record whatsoever of Mary's tribal affiliation. And I found the whole line of thought about royal blood to be puzzling. The only sense I could make of it is that maybe Teabing figured that if Mary Magdalene could be of the tribe of Benjamin, that she and Jesus would have brought the royal lines of King David and King Saul together again. But that has to be pure conjecture, because there is no genealogy of Mary Magdalene given anywhere. Apparently, only Teabing knows this supposed fact.
But what about all those documents he talks about? He can't just be making all that up.
Why not? It's a novel, remember?
But this is a key point in the plot line. If he's been building to a climax, only to make stuff up at the key point.
According to Paul Meyer, a bona fide scholar of ancient history, here. In fact, there was no such find. No trunks, no documents, nor even any search for them by the Knights Templar. Furthermore, the Jerusalem Temple, the very citadel of Judaism, would be the last place on earth to look for Christian documents relating to the Holy Grail. And even in fiction, Brown cannot produce these tens of thousands of pages for us at the culmination of this plot.
But there has to be more substance to it than that.
Well, if you find any, let me know. But you know what I think is the single most intriguing thing about the Da Vinci Code phenomenon?
What's that?
Even if the book's central claim about Jesus and Mary being husband and wife and having a child were true, it would mean nothing.
What are you talking about?
It's like this. Professor Bach told an interviewer, if Jesus had been married, it wouldn't touch the theology one bit. Jesus is 100% human. Had he been married and had he had children, all it would have done would have been to reflect his engagement with his humanity. But I just don't think historically there's any evidence that Jesus was married. But the most important point in relationship to the novel is, had Jesus been married, the church wouldn't have had any reason to suppress that knowledge. In fact, here's a little tidbit for you. There are actually millions of Jesus' blood relatives living on earth today. There are probably some in this room. They're called Jews. Not only that, but while the Bible is utterly silent on whether Jesus married and had children, it is utterly clear that we, every one of us, not just blood descendants, can become children of God, adopted into his family with all the rights and inheritance that children enjoy. To me, that seems to be a greater mystery than the Da Vinci Code.
So let me get this straight. There's no reliable evidence that Jesus intended for Mary Magdalene to lead the church. There's no reliable evidence that Jesus and Mary were married. And there's no reliable evidence that they had a child.
Yes, I think that is all true.
So the book's central claim that the Holy Grail is not a thing but a person is bogus.
Well, the Grail legend is just that, a legend. It is made for some great stories and songs, but Even without Teabing's flight of fancy, there is no reason to expect that the cup of Jesus used at the Last Supper would have any more significance than any other artifact from his life. If the Holy Grail were found tomorrow, it would make news, it would be bought for an outrageous price, but it has never had anything to do with the mission or the influence of the church.
So what pieces of Teabing's case have turned out to be historically accurate?
Well, the Knights Templar and Opus Dei are real.
But they bear very little resemblance to Teabing's versions.
I've learned a lot about the various Gospels and when they were written.
And which ones were reliable.
Not to mention all that stuff about the Church Fathers and Constantine and the Council of Nicaea.
That's true. We've learned a tremendous amount.
Yeah, it hasn't been a total waste of time.
I agree, but there's one more thing I'd like to ask you to explore with me.
What's that?
Well, as we've researched some of Teabing's and Langdon's claim in the Da Vinci Code, we've had some stimulating conversations about Jesus, Mary Magdalene, the Bible, and the church. But the next time we get together, I'd like you to let me lead us down one new avenue of exploration focused on the answers to two questions. If Jesus wasn't who Sir Lee Teabing and Robert Langdon say he was, then who was he really?
Okay, sure.
But you said two questions. What's the other question?
The other question is this. What difference does it make?
After all the investigation, after all the discussions, there are two facts that are indisputable. One, Dan Brown knows how to write a good mystery. And two, those details that the Da Vinci Code uncovered as incontrovertible facts are pure fiction. However, the actual facts, the ones that lie in contrast to Dan Brown's fabrications, have the potential to radically change your life. For that reason, I encourage you to join us for the next episode of our audio series. Thanks for uncovering the truth with us. I'm Josh McDowell.
The Da Vinci Code, A Quest for Answers, is produced by Campus Crusade for Christ.